there, and welcome to Montessori Mom. Today on the podcast, we have Judith Jolma, who is in Virginia, and she is a homeschooling Montessori mom, is into the whole Montessori stuff, and she is going to tell her story and a little bit about what she does. Welcome, Judith.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so you know that gospel in the New Testament where Jesus goes over the Sea of Galilee and there's that demon-possessed man running down the hill acting crazy, breaking chains. Well, yeah, that was me with four toddlers. So.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Wild and crazy ride. Four babies in the span of 5 years, and the Montessori method definitely saved my bacon and all that.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh, I totally feel the same way, because we had 5 in 7 years, and it's made it, I don't know how I would have survived without this, knowing about the whole Montessori thing, because they're so much more independent and capable. Mm-hmm. I mean, the four-year-old has been making peanut butter and jelly roll-ups for breakfast for the past 3 mornings. Not a great breakfast, but he's like waking up at 7 and doing this before I even get up, and everybody's fed by the time I get out of bed. It's been amazing.
You know, my Montessori mentor, Maggie Radzik, who is just a hero, a beautiful soul, she told a story one time that a woman who was doing training with her had just come over from Ghana. And she said that having grown up in Ghana in her little tribal village all those years, she had never seen a temper tantrum until she came to the United States. And what made the difference was that in Ghana, children are just welcomed into the work. And it was just a much more natural way of following the child, which is, of course, what we learned, Montessori method, which is so novel to us in our way of thinking, where we put children in containers and we just scoop them up and move them without thinking that maybe they're concentrating on something. And here we get a lot of tantrums because we're just not following or paying attention to the child. So, yeah, when you have a lot of little babies and you want to cut down on some of the tantrums, definitely paying attention to what they're doing can bring a little peace in the home.
Yes. Yeah. I read a story about that just recently about natives on some island that are still, you know, living their tribal life today, and there's no schooling, there's no education, and the children learn from watching the adults and doing what they can at a distance, like, you know, 5 feet away. Like, they just watch, they learn from that to make baskets and fish and do all the things that they do. I think they do have quite a trade and a skill, as a lot of, you know, ancient civilizations have had, you know, that we know of. So, yeah, that's really awesome. So tell us about you. So you have four children. And you are in Virginia.
Right.
And you were homeschooled yourself.
I was homeschooled K through 12. So my mom began homeschooling in 1983. We're very much the pioneers in the modern homeschool movement. And I spent my entire childhood, considering everything that she was doing wrong. And then when I became
I don't think that is novel to being public schooled or homeschooled.
So when I had my own children, even though I was nitpicking my mother all the time, like we do, I think daughters do that a lot, don't we? Right. And, but I knew that I would still homeschool my own children because I valued that upbringing so much, but I was just going to do it my own way. And then when I began homeschooling, I was on the phone with her every single day saying, "Mom, remind me what you did. How did you do it?"
Yeah.
Because you must have done everything a lot more right than I realized.
I must have felt so good for her.
Yes. So I did not, though, know anything about the Montessori method. And when my oldest was almost 2 years old, I decided it was time for me to explore different educational methods because I knew that the homeschool world had changed a lot since I had graduated. And I started going to every conference, listening to every podcast, reading everything I could just to learn all the different approaches so that I could choose the one that would work for me. And that was when I stumbled upon a lecture by Maggie Radzic, and she was discussing the four planes of development, and she presented it in such a beautiful way. I was in love from the first moment, and from that moment on, I knew there would be no other way to bring up my children. It was so true, capital T, true, to just how God created the human person and the dignity of the human person. And the beauty that what caught me the most was this symbiotic relationship between adult and child, and how the adult, while teaching the child, also has to be the student of the child, has to learn from the child, and once again become a child. Let that childlike heart grow in us. So that was when I dove into the Montessori method, and I learned how it can also dovetail very beautifully with classical education, which was another one of my interests. And as I started bringing this into my home, I experienced troubled pregnancy number 3, and then troubled pregnancy number 4. And these were all, there were 4 high risk pregnancies. They were all, they involved bed rest, premature birth, and traumatic delivery. It was a very, very rough time. And that's where I said I was that demon possessed man running up the hills, like crazy. But the Lord provided, because there just happened to be a Catholic Montessori school within 2 blocks of where I lived.
Oh my goodness, what a blessing.
So even though I wanted to homeschool, I realized that this was the time for them to be in this safe environment until things calmed down on the home front some. And then when my oldest was entering 2nd grade, I brought them back home and began homeschooling.
Okay. That's beautiful that they had that foundation. We experienced actually kind of the same type of story. Guys, me and Judith, she might be offended, but we're twinsies, I think.
That's a compliment.
When I found out I was pregnant with my 5th, the oldest was 5, and the youngest was 1, and there was 4 of them, and I was like, I'm going downhill, guys, real fast. And so my mom actually was like, okay, we're gonna help you out. You need to like let yourself have a break, because I don't let people help me. I can do it all myself. And I loved Montessori, and I was like, we're gonna do this at home, and just very stubborn and proud. So she was like, okay, Lynn, what if I pay for it? Like, would you allow it then? And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess getting some more sleep would be nice. Not having kids when I'm morning, so it could be super nice. Okay. So the oldest 2 went to Montessori school for about a year. And then I brought them back home, but for various reasons. But it was amazing to see how homeschooling was before then. Not that we did a whole lot, you know, it was really, they were young, it was gentle, it was not much. I think it was just doing like letters and some math, and just the difference in them accepting, like being excited and like going through the routine of it was so much easier. It's even with Montessori stuff that I'd tried before, and I was never went through training or anything. I just read books, but it was like completely different. It was just so much easier with them to have that base, you know?
Right. Right. And it helped to have the children also experience the normalization in a Montessori classroom before you brought them home. And not only do we as parents need the training of how to set up the home and also just how to think, it's counterintuitive, I think. The process is counterintuitive.
It's countercultural, for sure.
It's cultural, yeah, definitely. And I discovered when I was expecting baby number four, my youngest daughter, and my baby number three, my other daughter, was still just about 18 months old at the time. And there was a wonderful Montessori teacher at the school. And my daughter, Cecilia, the 18-month-old, was in her toddler class. But this teacher, Brenda, was going through her infant and toddler training certification. And with that certification, the teacher requires, several hundred hours of observation of babies just at a certain age. So she needed observation hours for a baby under the age of two and a baby 0 to 6 months old. So she started doing her observations at my home, observing Cecilia, just as Anna, baby number four, was born, who fit the next criteria, and so she observed that child as well. She was in my home 3 days a week, all summer long. It was Rescue Nanny 911.
Oh my goodness.
Because she was in my home, and I completely opened up to her and said, teach me, train me, correct me if I do anything that is not... That the child's not responding to properly, and she did. I never realized how much my tone communicated to the children. Mm-hmm. I never realized how often I just swooped up a child and moved them without paying attention to what they were doing first. Or I would say, hey, don't do that. And she would say, why don't we say, can we do this over here instead? And redirect. And it was all summer long, and I realized what a gift that was to have someone going through the training there to train me in my home at that time.
That is so beautiful and awesome. Man, that needs to be a service. Montessori nanny service.
I keep telling her that it needs to be a service. Because, as you know, it's so much more than the materials. It's a mentality. It's a way of life. In fact, in my home school, I don't use many of the Montessori materials, to be perfectly honest, because when I did, I have all the materials, and I set out a beautiful Montessori classroom. But I didn't have the training to be able to understand how to use a material from its first part lesson all the way through the end. For example, you know, the golden beads can be used from understanding quantity all the way through division. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of works that you can do with that bead, and without understanding the scope and sequence, it can be complicated for a homeschool parent to use the material. So I use a lot of textbooks, but the philosophy of following the child, the development of the child, the prepared adult, and the prepared environment govern everything that I do.
Oh my goodness. Let me ask you a question while we're on that subject. So your oldest is now
12.
12, and your youngest is
6.
6, okay. And so how does the prepared environment not only affect your schoolroom, but your entire house, since you homeschool?
Great question. Right. So I went through a long journey on this, trying to find how it would affect. And of course, I made the mistake of what a lot of parents do, I think. And I tried to set up the practical life work inside my home. It was a beautiful shelf.
There were little for a few moments.
Right. There were little crystal pouring vases and for them to do their pouring exercises and little scooping exercises and the little napkin folding exercises and all of that. And when you have the child the right age to be using that, and you also have a child who's too young to be using it, it's not a Montessori environment because you're telling the children too often not to touch it.
Well, and it's not and a prepared environment for that child who is too young for it now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because, of course, one of the main principles of the prepared environment is that if the child isn't free, it is not a Montessori environment. Mm-hmm. So the younger child was not free in that environment.
Right.
And then I became too frustrated because there was too much spilled water on the floor. You know, the sensory bin goes everywhere.
Right.
And so I evolved over time to realize that what I should have understood from the beginning, which was that the practical life works in the classroom is a synthesis of real life at home.
Right.
So when you have the child actually helping you with pouring and cooking, put them in a bathtub and give them plastic cups and let them pour from glass to glass to control of pouring, that's fine. And really just understanding that so long as they can reach their dishes, so long as they can reach their clothes, so long as everything that they need to live is accessible to them and to take care of themselves, that's a Montessori environment. And it doesn't have to look special.
Yeah, right. It just has to be accessible in their size.
Right. Yeah. And they have to know the patterns and routines of life.
Right.
So they have to reach normalization in the home as well, where they know how to operate within this environment. And that means they wake up at a certain time and they fix themselves breakfast and then they put their breakfast dishes away. Mm-hmm. And then they get dressed and they brush their teeth. And, you know, there's the routine. They know what is expected. And that's normalization. When they reach that point where at 9 o'clock I turn around and they're pulling their school books out and working as if the parent or teacher does not even exist, we have achieved then a Montessori environment.
Yes, yeah.
Even if they're textbooks.
I'm not there yet.
Well, yours are younger.
That's true.
And that's to be expected.
Yeah. So, yeah, I need help with these expectations. I fall into that trap so often, especially with having many a different ages. So many, and I like, squished together. It's so hard to switch back and forth of who's where developmentally, and you talk to an 8-year-old completely different than you would talk to a 4-year-old. And it's really hard to get that straight and then forget, like, okay, I shouldn't expect the 4-year-old to do everything that the 8-year-old is doing. And that even in a Montessori classroom, you know, they start on the foundation of just the sequence of getting a mat, getting the work off the shelf and getting it onto the mat and then putting it back away. Like, that's a basic, like, they work on that for months, you know? So it's...
And the teacher's not having to worry about laundry and meal planning while she's in the classroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more in the home. But you are absolutely right that being that versatile parent who is the chameleon and changes between which child she's working with at the time is very, very difficult. And, you know, one thing I think has changed for us that there has never been a time throughout all of history, really, where so much has ever been expected of one woman. It's never been expected of one woman to manage the entire household and take care of and the education of her children and everything all by herself. I mean, you even just look at even recent history at the old sitcoms like Leave It to Beaver and the Brady Bunch, they had live-in housekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't, you know, they weren't put out there like being upper class, right? This was just normal America, it looks like, at least from the Hollywood lens. But it was the norm that if you didn't have that, at least you had a community of women around you. And it was never up to one woman to try to keep all of the children alive throughout the day. And I think that that's why we use a lot of walkers and high chairs and cribs and things that are we're cautioned against in the Montessori method, but our world has changed that if we don't do that and we are the only responsible adult in the home who's not trying to kill ourselves in a day,
then no the children will be harmed. Yeah.
Right. The children will be harmed. And so there is, you have to use your good judgment on that. Okay, do I put them in a safe container? I'm the only one taking care of all these children.
Yeah.
Or give them freedom of movement. I know that there are creative ways that you can find to give them creative movement without the container.
Like, just have this room be for this age children and this room be for that age children. I'm like, but then we're all separated. Then it doesn't feel like family anymore. That's the reason we homeschool, is because we want to be together. I don't know. Maybe that's probably better than containing. Like I said, I'm just stubborn, and I'm just like, if I'm not always trying to achieve the utmost ideal, I'm unhappy. I don't side roads or anything like that. Just give me everything I want. Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm with you on that. Can we vote for that? I'll take everything I want. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yes.
So the Montessori method now is once again bearing beautiful fruit as my oldest is entering adolescence. And this is taking me by surprise because, of course, we've got parallel planes, the toddler years and the adolescent years, and I see it coming all back around now with the increased need of sleep, the lack of attention span, things that appear like it might be selfish or self-centered, but having that background and understanding now of what actually is going on mentally for him and physically, it's fascinating to give him the mercy and the grace to let him develop the way he needs to.
Right. Giving him the space and the time, because there's two, if I understand, you know, the development, right, the physical aspect of it, there's two times in a person's life where your brain completely rewires, and that's at two. And it basically 12 puberty. And so you're going to have to treat like that tantruming 2-year-old or who's angry or upset at any little thing. Like you're going to have to go back to that again when they're 12 and just de-escalate and love. And Montessori said they just needed to be like out in the world and working, right? Because they just couldn't really focus on that. There's just so much going on. They just needed.
Right. Yeah. The brain is working so hard. The physical body is developing so much that all of the brain's resources are going to the physical changes in the body. And it is the absolute worst time in the entire course of human development to work on academics.
Mm.
Imagine trying to do a hard, rigorous mental activity when you're pregnant, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder.
Or when you're on your, you know, a few days before you start your cycle.
Right. Right. Your body is doing a big, big work and the brain puts all of its resources there. And so what do we tend to do in a typical high school? We wake them up a whole lot earlier and we load them down with all kinds of very difficult academic work and plus extracurricular activities and we expect so much of them, and then we wonder why antidepressants is such a massive industry. And starting at that age, the suicide rate among adolescents is staggering, staggering.
It's so sad.
Because we're pushing them to do something that is just so unnatural to their development and what they need.
And their ability, really, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm very thankful to have had wonderful mentors to put up the caution signs for me ahead before getting here.
Right.
Because how would anybody know unless someone had taught them this, right? It's not anybody's fault. We suffer from the choices we were never taught how to make.
Right. Well, go ahead. Sorry. I was going
to
say,
we just don't know how to be parents if we don't have that kind of insight of the genius, which was Maria Montessori.
Right. And we're at the hands of the people with the Let's see. What is that word called? Psychologists. We're at the hands of the psychologists of our day, you know, whatever is influencing that. And I think Maria Montessori has done a lot to influence the culture in Europe. And has slowly been expanding out since the 1940s. And it still is having a hard... We need to help it expand more in the United States, at least. That's our grasp. That's our reach.
Incidentally, a little bit of history. I'm not sure if you know that Hitler outlawed Montessori education during his time. And Hitler, or was it Mussolini? This was in Italy. It was probably Mussolini, from what I understand. And the reason was because under the Montessori method of education, there's no opportunity for indoctrination.
That's awesome.
And it speaks volumes to why we want it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. That does speak volumes, because she had a conversation with Freud at one point where he said if everybody was educated with this method, that there would be no war in the world.
Wow. Beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, it is a profound journey to sit and just ponder the mystery of childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And to let it in to transform the parent's life as well. But I would caution parents who are homeschooling with the Montessori method who may be getting frustrated, because it's not easy.
It's not.
And to be gentle with yourself, because it's not easy.
So you and your husband decided to homeschool, right? And so why did you make that decision for your children?
Well, for me, it was because I was brought up being homeschooled, and it was that I valued that upbringing so much. I valued the freedom. I valued being able to learn in a more holistic way. And it was also my comfort zone. Honestly, when I had the little ones in the Montessori school, I was trying to keep up with somebody else's schedule. I was fixing lunches for somebody else's day plan. I was, you know, filling out forms for their field trips and everything else. And I felt like it was very stressful. I didn't have any freedom for my own family culture when they were being sent away. The school dictated my entire life schedule. And then I would get the children home at the witching hour.
Was,
right? Frustrated, tired, grumpy.
Yes.
And I felt like I always got the worst of my children. And I missed out on having a relationship built on a mutual love for learning. And I wanted that. I wanted to have a mutual love for learning that I shared with my children. And I wanted to get excited about discovering things and about our reading assignments that we would all be reading together. And and sure enough, that's how it has turned out. This is a lifestyle of, we nerd out over the silliest things. Over teaching the boys about the Roman phalanx, about studying physics last year was so much fun. When you have boys studying physics for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
And it gets wild, especially when you give them the freedom to experiment.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds wild. I'm thinking of all kinds of things. That's funny.
And it's beautiful. It is just an absolute, no, I don't want to say that it is always easy and we are just like, you know, smiling all day long. We have our hard days. We had our hard days when they were in school also. It's real life, and sometimes it's messy. And we definitely have our conflicts from time to time, but our conflicts come, they have a much more solid foundation in our relationship from the good times. And so we can weather the headbutting, because it's not the only thing we have all day long.
So you were homeschooled because, I mean, you homeschool your children because you were homeschooled, but you didn't always homeschool, right? Your mom pulled you guys out of school. So why did she choose to homeschool?
So the story is that my sister was in fifth grade in public school. My brother was entering third grade. I was entering kindergarten. And my sister was plagued by bullies. And the class assignments always undermined the faith. My brother was becoming the class bully. Mm. And when I entered that first kindergarten year, I instantly, as a five-year-old, developed an eating disorder because I was so depressed of having to leave my mommy all day long. And I can still remember that horrible feeling in my gut watching the house disappear while I was on the bus. And my mom said, enough is enough. And she did not know what to do because it was 1983 and homeschooling was unheard of. Mm-hmm. And someone suggested, oh, why don't you homeschool? She said, are you kidding me? That's for hippies and organic gardeners. But after about 6 months of that year, she couldn't take it anymore. And she just made the decision. She said, you know, if my children do not ever learn to read and write, but they learn to love the Lord, I've done my job. Mm. And if, on the other hand, they lose their faith, but are successful by the world's standards, then I've failed in my job. And so she pulled us out, and she had barely a high school education, and she hated her entire school education. And she didn't care if she never opened another textbook in her life, and homeschooling was not something that she wanted to do at all. And there were days that she really thought that we would never learn to read or write. It was not easy. Her mother died the first year that she was homeschooling, and she was devastated. And how do you continue doing something that hard through that kind of grief? But she did.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that was, it's devastating. And to have,
no internet. Mm. One car family, so no library.
Millennial right now is dying in their heart.
Right? No, we did join a homeschool co-op. First year.
Must have been her saving grace with her mother.
And no, it was a cult.
Oh, okay.
For very long.
Never mind.
So we pulled out. Well, but in the end, none of us ever went back to school. I was the third, but there ended up being seven of us when all was said and done. Okay. And we were all homeschooled. We all graduated homeschool. So yes, I was homeschooled. You might say I was a kindergarten dropout.
Yeah.
I was homeschooled through halfway through kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. Okay. Now, just so that you know, we did learn to read and write.
I would assume you seem pretty successful.
My sister, my older sister, is a law professor and an author, and my brother is successful in the tech industry. I've got a sister who's an accountant. My baby sister speaks five languages, and they're musicians as well. They travel to the Middle East several times a year. So I'm a journalist, a public speaker, entrepreneur, and I don't give this list of things in order to boast about, look at what my mom did, but to say if she did it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's so much. I feel like a lot of people who homeschool, like, do have to credit themselves in some way so that people just don't your kids are never going to be successful in the world because they're not socialized and they're not, that's not normal. And it's like, actually, school as we know it has only been around for like 100 years, and it was built for an industry basically, and not necessarily for thinking and entrepreneuring. it's definitely so it's definitely looked down upon even now, or there's so, it's not the normal, definitely not the norm. But I do think it is closer to real life. and is healthy. It's healthy to be in your family. If you can at all do it, obviously it's not, you know, not everybody can or have those options in their life and their family situation with the resources available to them. And in public school can turn out well too. But obviously if public school isn't going well, why can't homeschool? You know?
Right.
You know, it right. should be. I think that's why people have to credit themselves by saying, you know, what they accomplished while being homeschooled, because it is so often just discredited, and, you know, but, you know, you have enough success stories, maybe people start saying, okay, maybe that's a valid option. Maybe it's not just cult people.
Right, right. It's not 1983 anymore. Yeah. So, you know, I teach a class now, how to start homeschooling.
Yeah.
And I give teacher training to homeschool parents.
When did this start?
And one of the things, what was that?
When did you start this school?
We started this 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it was perfect timing, because now we have this explosion in homeschooling and everybody asking, how in the world do I do this?
Perfect timing.
But one of the questions that we deal with in this class is when I say to parents that you have a trump card. When you open up your toolbox and you take out all your tools and you examine them, what do I have in my homeschool toolbox to work with? You have a tool in there, which is your wild card. Nobody else has it. And that is nobody, no teacher, no coach, no mentor, no priest will ever, never love, want the best for, and understand your children the way you do.
Mm.
Nobody. And you can put up with an awful lot because you are willing the best for your children.
Yep. Yeah, I noticed on your website you have the quote from John Paul II. About the parent is the primary educator of your child.
Right.
And you can hand off their, quote, education to someone else, but you're still ultimately responsible. I mean, that's in the catechism, even. It's you know, rings so true. So, yeah, that is a great thing to keep in mind when we're doing what we do. Oh my goodness. I hope I'm in the loves in the moment. Most some days I'm not quite sure. at least it's always okay. Jesus loves them more, and if Jesus loves them, I dang sure better pick up the pace here.
Oh, it's a good thing he always does.
Yeah, us too. All my right. gosh.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's another aspect of this as well, and that is when you ask yourself, what is the purpose of education? What is the purpose of education? And, you know, the definition of that has changed over time. Plato and Aristotle were both in agreement that the purpose of education was to teach one to love beauty.
Mm.
It was about always. Education has always been, in the classical sense, about growing into the mature, capable adult. It's about an internal growth of reaching one's potential. But in the definition, and you can actually open up Webster's Dictionary now and see the definition of education is very utility-based. It is to prepare the individual for society that he may contribute to the greater good of society. Now, a person who is educated in the classical sense as a full, mature, holistic adult is going to contribute to the better good of society.
Yeah.
But they've stripped that away from it and made it entirely about how can the world use you?
Yeah. Man, that's sad. And that's infiltrated so many of, you know, all the thought perspectives, even in politics and policy. in the way people think, and it's infiltrating the education system. Obviously, you know, I mean, heck, it's on Wikipedia, so I'm sure many thousands of people have read that. Yeah, we've got to get better resources than Wikipedia. Older than 5 minutes.
We'll come up with something.
So you started the Sophia Homeschool to help parents learn how to homeschool. It sounds amazing. And I know you have three different parts to three different kind of series to actually now four, you have four series to offer, right? So you have the Sophia Homeschool, you have the Prepared series, and then there's the Woman's School, right? And then recently you've come up with a series on how to homeschool your children with a learning disability or mentally disabled child. So that's a lot to offer. You have so much to offer.
It is. Well, the Prepared series is our series, our webinar series based on the three pillars of education from the Montessori perspective: the child, the prepared adult, and the prepared environment. And we thought that that was so foundational that we try to give this away as often as we can because it's so valuable to understanding really what just brings peace to the family, what brings peace to the educational environment in the home, all of it. And then the webinar also for learning disabilities. Those are both part of our webinar series. We do webinar series, always ongoing webinar series, and we're always building onto those. Right now we're working on one for how to homeschool through high school, keeping transcripts. So those are just ongoing, and our library of webinar series are always available for sale after the fact. You can watch them live for free, but then after the fact, they're just in our library for sale. And then we have, of course, our How to Homeschool workshops, which we are just converting right now. As we speak, we're converting that into a masterclass. In the past, it has been a live, interactive, online workshop where we take the parents through a 6-week training, laying a solid foundation for them to figure out what kind of homeschooling approach is going to work for them. So we get into their personal lives and figure out what the unique dynamic of their life is going to support for their homeschool. But we have now just taken that from that live interactive workshop and made it a masterclass, so you can now watch these recordings, these training sessions at your own pace.
Okay.
You don't have to spend 2 hours every week with me.
I'm sure you have so much more interest now that some schools aren't even, public schools aren't returning to class this fall. If they are, it's like half online, half in school. Some are like online for the first 3 weeks, and then they're going to test out going to school to see how it goes. The constant change has been so stressful for everyone. If you have kids, it just doubles it, because it's not just change with work and society and going out to public, but also then with your kids in school and a different method of learning, because now it's online with devices at home, and you've never been trained or prepared to be a homeschool parent, and all of a sudden you are. And are we going back to school? Are we not? Can we just figure this out, please?
It's a train wreck. I had one parent describe it as trauma schooling.
Oh,
yes, it's horrible. And another parent broke my heart. She was complaining about her son who has ADD, and the school wanted him in front of his computer screen from 8:30 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. And she said, well, first of all, a lot of us need that computer now.
Yeah.
And he can't have that computer all day long. Secondly, you're going to take a child with ADD and have him sit in front of a screen all day, burn out his eyes. And you think I'm not going to be picking up the broken pieces after that?
Yeah.
So it's really bad. It's really sad. But we also have then, you know, the prepared adult is a key element to that. And that's, of course, you mentioned the woman's school.
Right.
You mentioned about the woman's school. That's all about adult training, really. How can you create the beautiful life that you always wanted to live? Because you're more than a homeschool mama.
How to adult
you need,
as a parent.
As a parent.
Adulting
right.
classes for moms.
Yes, because you ultimately, you are their curriculum.
Yeah.
And so you have to get the mold right, and you'll get the child right. Yeah. And so for the sake of the kids, we offer this very comprehensive study of every area of a woman's arena so that she can, once again, be giving from a full cup and not from a place of depletion.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So out of all of those series, is that where you'd say you'd have someone start? Is on the start on the prepared series or on the woman's school?
We would start on the foundations workshop. Okay. This is the question of how do I homeschool?
Okay.
How do I homeschool? And the first question that we always get is, how do I homeschool? What curriculum should I buy? Hang on. Would you walk onto a car lot and say, I need to buy a car. Which one should I buy? There are a few things we have to know first. So we have to understand the territory. We have to discover what we're working with here, learn how to use a few tools, learn a few basic skills, and set up your home for success. And then once you're in there and you're rolling, then to move on to the woman's school, where you turn your eyes inward there and you start, you know, working on yourself alongside your children. Of course, in the webinar series, they're just ongoing all the time. They're just continuing education. They're always there.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so honored to have you on. You're this fountain of wisdom, and you have so much to offer for homeschooling moms and Montessori, too. It's just, wow. Thank you so much for coming on, Judith.
Well, thank you for doing this podcast, because there are so many young mothers who are drowning and they need voices like yours to be bringing good information to them. So yeah. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's been awesome. I can't believe the podcast has gotten the response that it has. My husband's super jealous. He's been podcasting for like 4 years longer than I have. And I have like 4 times the listener base. So it's pretty funny. This has been like 1 year. We're on 1 year here for me. So I definitely think it's needed, or it wouldn't be like that. It's a niche. And, you know, like you were saying earlier, I'm so much about just the philosophy of Montessori and parenting and how you approach the child. Mm-hmm. And it's just been life-changing, because growing up was completely different, a completely different ideal of how to treat children than Montessori approaches it. And what's amazing is that everything that she observed for over her whole life is now like being proven through science. And it's just really awesome to have that backup of, you know, if someone's truly science-based and show me the studies, well, here it is, you know. So, but it's beautiful that, too, like, she teaches so much the observation of the child and the environment. And it's been awesome to learn how to, make my home appropriate to a child for where they're at in their development. And it's hard to get the trick of how to do that for ages 0 through 6. Once you get past that, you know, things move up the shelves for the older kids. That's possible because they can reach it. Mm-hmm. But before then, it's been tricky. And I'm so glad to help support women, mothers on this. I really think it's a complete ideals change, a complete thought process, just switch.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I would encourage any parent listening to this to, yes, Montessori is a beautiful, beautiful approach, But don't fall into the trap of getting wrapped up with the process. Remember that the internal environment is just as much the environment, and strive for peace.
Yeah, I had a mother email me and she said, I used to think that Montessori was all about just buying these materials for your children. And she said, thank you so much for your podcast, because it's making me realize that it's so much more and it's not really about the materials.
Beautiful.
And, it was so like, oh, every time somebody emails you, it helps you even learn more deep things that you didn't know. It's just so beautiful to have the back and forth. Yeah. So it's awesome. So I try to have moms on that don't know much, or people that have questions. So I'm like, come ask your questions. I'm going to learn this deeper. And like, other people have the same questions and we can dive into them. And yeah, it's been awesome. So Judith, if anyone wants to attend the 6-week series on how to homeschool with Through Hope Sophia Homeschool, how would they do that?
Right. So at this point in the game, we are down to the wire, and I don't think that they want to do the whole 6-week class right now. So I would encourage them to do the master class so they can watch it on their time. Okay. And they can binge watch if they need to get themselves prepared.
I love watching.
And then they're also free to set up consultations with me. So they're not entirely alone. They can watch the training, work through the workbook, and then they can call me and set up a consultation, and I'll be there to coach them through and work them through. So they go to sophiahomeschool.com, and that's Sophia with a PH, S-O-P-H-I-A, homeschool.com. Okay. And they can learn everything there.
Awesome. That's awesome. And if they enter the code Montessori?
Yes, they get the prepared series for free.
Okay.
So this is a 4-part webinar series with my mentor, who I told you, Maggie Radzik, who is so inspirational, talking about the nature of the child. It's a beautiful series.
Awesome. And guys, this series is, I just finished up watching it, and it's so beautiful. And even knowing about Montessori for so long and reading all of her books and even going through Catechesis of the Good Shepherd training, which is based on Montessori, it's so beautiful to hear it again and hear it in a different way. And everyone, no matter what speaker I've encountered, I get something new out of the same. They're all pulling from the same information, but how they present it is always different. Always get something new. And then there's just so much there. Every time you listen, you get more. And gosh, it's so awesome. So if you really do want the basis of Montessori, like video and audio form, a complete like general view, like overlook of really what it is, and how they approach the child and the environment, and then how the adult interacts with the child in that environment, It is awesome. And it's usually $35. If you enter Montessori, you get it free. Totally worth it. Go hit it up. I've watched it too. Oh my gosh, and loved it. I'm going to like keep it in my pocket and just keep watch a video at night to just keep me inspired throughout the homeschool year.
It is a beautiful series.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Judith. And this has just been such a treat and such a blessing. And I really think, man, the Lord has just used you so much to help with this need for, oh my gosh, the instruction and how to do this homeschool thing and this whole pandemic and
thank you for the invitation. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Judith, and have a good evening. And thank you guys for listening to Montessori Mom. This is your host, Danielle Mitchell, and we're just getting off the phone with Judith Jolma, and I hope you're having a good day. Thanks.